I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. It's good to be here with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, God. We just ask your blessing upon us, Father, as we as we open your word, prepare our hearts to listen. Father, help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see, Father. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse 1. I want to give a little quote, and we can find a similar thought later on in our reading today, but I want to have in our minds this thought and this idea. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Have you ever heard that? Most of us have. It's an ancient proverb or an ancient saying. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We can take that several ways. Well, I always intended to do what was right, but I didn't. And that just makes goes with what Jesus said, is he that doeth, not he that saith. So we can take it in that content. We can take it in several other ways that we can have the best intentions for what our plans or what we think that we want to happen, and they be wrong. And even though we have really good intentions, they're wrong or they're out of order. And what that does is annihilate basically the idea of, or what actually happens or what we want to happen. It was a good intention, but it was wrong. And we run into people all the time, lots of people that have an intention, or in their mind, they really think that they're doing right. They really think that they're doing what they're supposed to do, but they are out of order. A lot of times we see these people and they really don't have a lot of maliciousness in their heart, or evil, it seems, on the outside, or bitterness or anger for what they're doing. But, and they, it just seems like they have the sweetest disposition with the best intentions in mind, but it doesn't work. It falls short. And in the end, it proves that even with that best attention, it still just paved the road to hell. It made it a little smoother. It made it look like it was all right, but it was corrupt in the underneath. We see people like that all the time and hear about them. Many religions, people are so zealous and so ambitious and so on fire, it seems, with their desires and their desire to please the Lord. And their intentions are good, but they're misguided. Sometimes they're just downright wrong. We wonder sometimes, we see people so kind and good, and their intentions to do well are right in the right place, it seems like, but it's just out of order. We've talked about, I've told you about the little old mother. I grew up knowing her. She was so kind and so nice. Just had the best intentions of being the sweetest person in the world. And her children realized that. And they adore her as far as that goes. They still talk about their kind old mother. But she would always turn aside, turn away whenever they done wrong. Whenever they were on the wrong path, she might not like it, but she just was overly sweet and overly kind. Just didn't correct them when they needed it. Didn't take the energy and spend the time it takes to just set them straight, to deny them what they needed. And this family, one of the boys, one of the young men, he's an old man, but he was put to death on death row for killing a policeman. The other spent time in prisons for killing a man. The mother had the best intentions of raising good boys. But it didn't work. That's why I say, I see some of these mothers that are just strict and hard and just keep things in order. Let the children make their own choices. But whenever they choose to do wrong, or they choose not to do what they're supposed to do, they're right there. And it's hard to execute discipline on our children. It's hard to take something away from them that they dearly love, to teach them a lesson. You've heard me say, raising children is easy. Disciplining yourself or disciplining adults is what's hard. Oftentimes our emotions and our feelings, our laziness, cause us to kind of go easy, because if I make them do that, that means I'll have to stay and watch them. Or I'll have to sacrifice some of my time to make sure that they do things the way they're supposed to. Just pure old laziness, a lot of times, is at the heart of wrong parenting. We don't want to punish our children because look what that's going to do to me. Look what I'm going to have to go through. Look what I'm going to have to do that. This is going to be a hardship. I'm going to have to start taking care of this to execute that judgment. So we have the best intentions, it seems, to just, it'll be all right. We'll just get over it. But that paves the road to hell. Let's begin in verse 1. I don't know if we'll even get to where I'm going tonight, today, but wise women build houses, but those without discernment destroy them with their hands. Wise women build houses, but those without discernment destroy them with their own hands. Wise women build houses. Build houses. How does a wise woman build a house? Disregard that numbskull of a husband. disregard that knucklehead that don't know anything and just take things over and do it yourself. You can do it so much better than he can anyway. And just take over and build your house. Good intentions. But it paves the road to hell. That's not the way a house is built. I think one of the things that we see most in this world today is just a general lack of respect. Just a general lack of respect for any authority. I mean, work with 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old boys, and they know everything, and nobody else knows anything. Someone that's been doing it 30 years doesn't know as much as he does. We've all seen that, and how foolish that looks, doesn't it? And yet, you put a little age on that person, and they still do the same thing. They just look older, and it doesn't look as obnoxious as it does in a teenager. But it's the same old garbage. A wise woman builds her house. The Bible makes it clear from the beginning to the end that the man is the head of the home. And while the house might not be built the way you think it ought to be, it's built the way God wants it to be. Whenever you follow His order, the road to hell. How many homes have been destroyed, paved with good intentions, paved with brilliant ideas, brilliant aspirations for the home? They wind up destroying the home in the end because it's out of order. God has a way that works. God has a way that is right. And while multitudes of people will tell you that God's way is best, God's way is right, God knows everything, understands everything, sees everything, has everything in control. And yet, when given the opportunity to follow God's plan and God's order for how things are supposed to be, throw all that right out the window, saying that I'm going to build a godly home. I'm going to build a godly house. And do it their own way. Later on in the verses, we may not get to it again, but there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that, boy, it looks like this is how I ought to do this. But the end of it leads to hell. That's the similarity here of this good intentions. Good intentions pave the way to hell. Great aspirations, great hopes, great ideas, great wisdom, great understanding. But if you miss the way God wants it to do, great wisdom is foolishness. Good understanding is complete confusion. the simplicity of how God has arranged how we're supposed to be is so overlooked, with so tainted by religion, by our own ideas, by great aspirations, by false ideas of what holiness is, by false ideas of what being a saint is. That all through the Bible, the simplicity of what, of doing what God wants you to do, is holiness, is being a saint. You know, we might not fit the aspirations of our own eyes, but just doing what God is wanting us to do, being in the place that God wants us to be, fulfilling the role that has been set before us, walking the bland old path that's right in front of us, that God inspired for us, is the most thrilling inspiration there is. It's the most glorious inspiration there is. All the others may have that little sparkle of appeal, that little sparkle of glory. But what will stand the test in eternity is the simplicity of just being what you're supposed to be right now. And as you be what you're supposed to be, you're nurturing and growing the children. You're nurturing and growing the people around you that you affect. And it may not look very exciting, but it's working. And it will last. Wise women build houses, but those without discernment destroy them with their hands. How many women, people with wise thoughts of themselves, or thoughts that they have more discernment than the dolt that they're working with, than the dummy that they're working with has. And they have the best intentions of getting around that. But I will guarantee you, not based on my own observation, but based on what the Bible says and what has happened throughout eternity, they are destroying their own house. It will not work. I don't know how much plainer, how simpler I can tell you, it will not work. It won't work. That's where the road to hell paved with good intentions clashes with real godliness. Whenever all the things around you think that I need to just usurp God's plan and usurp God's way and step right over here into my own, because this just looks so much better. It'll just work so much better. That's where you jump ship. He who walks uprightly fears the Lord. He who walks uprightly fears the Lord. Walking uprightly. I don't know what kind of image that conjures in your mind, but walking uprightly is just simply being in the place that God wants us to be. Doing the things that God wants us to do. But he who is crooked in his way will be dishonored. Crooked in his way. I'll slip it over this way. I'll slide it around this way. I'll twist it around that way. I'll manipulate it. You see, that's the problem with children. When they learn how to manipulate you, you know what you're teaching? You're not teaching your children to walk uprightly. You're teaching your children to walk a crooked path. You know, we may think we're really pulling one over because, well, I know what I got to do to get my way. But when you start twisting and manipulating, you may get your way, but that's not the way you walk uprightly. Your manipulation and your twisting makes you a crooked man, even though you may appear to have everything just in right order. It's crooked in God's eyes. From the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. But the lips of wise men guard themselves. From the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. What is a rod of arrogance? It's sounds pretty abrasive. From the mouth of a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. Along these lines here, a man without discernment comes a rod of arrogance. He thinks he knows better. He thinks he knows better. How arrogant are people? You've seen them. They know better. They know better. And they're so full of arrogance. They are so convinced that they are right. They are so sure that they're right. Arrogance is an ugly thing. The sad thing about it is the arrogant person is right. And there is no convincing him otherwise. That's why the Bible says not to argue with a fool. An arrogant person, there's no even thought of themselves being in the being out of order. Their thought is so high above God's way, God's plan. They're just right. And they just treat that anybody that would disagree with them with a big old rod. Just smack them out of the way. A rod of arrogance. How is that displayed? You know, I'll tell you how one way it starts. It's murmuring. It's mentioned this morning. It's about the song leader and he corrected the boys. And I don't even think there was a need for him to apologize. When someone's out of order, sometimes it takes a little raising of the voice to get their attention. We forget sometimes that God is or has an angry side to him. An angry side to him. There's a lot of times we see in the Bible where God is angry with the wicked. We have this idea of some kind of band of sodomites over there somewhere that God's mad at. Well, I think God is madder at people who just get out of His way, that they think they know better than He does. Isn't that what sin is in the first place? The wickedness that we conjure up, or we think about, or we hear about and see sometimes, is just a result of someone just choosing their own way. It may take a generation or two before it manifests itself in all of that. But it starts with just me getting out of God's order, doing it my way. This murmuring, this teacher, correcting, scolding. And of course, the little group of boys or the little group of men, young men. Yeah, that guy, he was out of order. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? Boy, he shouldn't have done that. You want to know what it takes to have a rod of arrogance, or develop into a rod of arrogance? Just always question authority. Just always try to make them out to be the bad guy when they're trying to correct you. Just keep on that path. Just always be complaining that nobody quite does it right like you do. Just always kind of bellyache about it. Now, when you get alone, those guys, they just start bellyaching like that. The boss, he don't know what he's doing. Oh, my dad don't know what he's doing. Oh, my mom don't know what she's doing. The teacher, she don't know what she's doing. She's out of order. You just water that. You just fertilize that. You just feed that. And you'll never recognize what you're growing. You hear that? We've got the idea, if I go bad, I'll know it. No. That's the whole thing about arrogance. You just foster all these things. You feed them. You let them grow. And it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you'll notice it less and less and less. You won't even know it's you. See, that's the sad thing and the scary thing about sin. You don't know it's you. Everybody else will. And they'll try to tell you about it. And you'll think they're all just a bunch of idiots. But they don't know. What are they talking about? The lips of wise men guard themselves. They know that to murmur and complain and bellyache doesn't help. See, the thing about it is, if you will do what you're supposed to do, you'll still be okay. You'll still be walking that simple, upright path. If you just put your head down and do what you're supposed to do, even though maybe you're be treated unjustly, even though it ain't fair, you just do what you're supposed to do, and you do that with your mouth shut and a smile on your face and a song in your heart. That'll grow. That'll grow. Life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. But you haven't got what you deserve. You might be mistreated unjustly once in a while. Maybe your parents didn't know what happened. Maybe your brother pulled one over on you and you got busted for it. And he got away scot-free. You can still be the winner. You have still been treated better than you deserve. You've still been treated better than you deserve. How many times have you not been punished for what you've done? How many times have you just got away with something that you didn't even know you did, maybe? Every one of us have it better than we deserve. We don't deserve this opportunity. We don't deserve what we have. We don't deserve the gifts that we've been given. We didn't earn them. We're on the outside. And God has graciously invited us to the inside to be a partaker of all that He has to offer. We don't deserve a bit of it, but He's given it. And we can be grateful for it, and we can be thankful for it, or we can be an arrogant little twerp, just however we want to take it. I didn't make it to the verse. Verse 10 I want to read though. It says, if the heart of a man is controlled by feelings, his soul is sorrowful. But when he rejoices, it is not mingled with arrogance. If the soul of a man is controlled by feelings, his soul is sorrowful. Boy, if we went by our feelings, that is nothing but a roller coaster ride to the pits of sorrow. There might be a little high once in a while, a little up and down, but it is the road to the pit of sorrow. How many people have followed their feelings with the best intentions and have destroyed other people? That's why we don't go after what the mob is doing and what's all exciting about what everybody else is doing, because it's a wave of emotion. That's why the murmurer is not appreciated, because his murmuring gets other people all stirred up, get them all excited, and the next thing you know, they're making decisions on their feelings of being hurt. And it ends in sorrow. Stay on the simple path. Don't make decisions based on your feelings. It'll always be wrong. No matter how much it seems what's right, stay on that path. of simplicity in God's order. And don't let your emotions get you turned off of that, turned aside from that. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
More. I love the name of Jerusalem. No.